multiple things that we could examine ourselves pertaining to God's holy book, pertaining to love. Love never fails. Love never fails. And in the process of studying for that lesson, I couldn't add to or take away from that chapter this morning. So these verses that we have this evening are an additional lesson. And I've titled this evening's lesson, The Love of God. And to look at God's holy word from a perspective of what the Bible, his holy word, explains to us, we begin this evening in John chapter 16. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. You know, people today say, I just don't understand how a loving God can do this, or I don't understand how a loving God can do that. Jesus says, if you love me, he loves you. Folks, we can look through the history of man here in God's holy word and find out that God takes care of people that don't love him. And for us, we studied the Bible this morning in Bible class about Moses deciding that he was going to equal himself with God, you know, and have an attitude that was detrimental to him being humble before God. Folks, there's a lot of things that happen in this world because people are not humble towards God. God didn't set the universe in motion and just let it go. It's his. He's all powerful. He's in all control. He runs the show still. He talks to us through his holy word. Okay? Once and for all. Through Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit. He does that because he loves us. And if we love him and Jesus, he's going to love us back. I've seen it proven over and over again in my life. And in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it is written, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When I read this passage in a study of the love of God, I thought to myself, well, when did I feel the Holy Spirit pouring out into me? When did I feel that? Is that a miraculous thing we feel? Well, I certainly felt my burdens were lifted when I obeyed the gospel of Christ and was baptized into him, into the dear kingdom that he died for. There's multiple times in my life that I've been humbled and been emotionally humbled and blessed in my life because of the love of God. When we gather this week with your significant other, if you have one, for Valentine's Day, will you feel like the love of God's been poured out? Are you thankful for that relationship in your life? Or if that relationship is passed on, are you still treasuring those memories and that relationship that you've had in past times past? How God has poured out his love in our hearts. He also pours out his love in our hearts as we open his word and we're directed and guided by the Spirit working in us. That's a good thing, folks. That's God's love working in our lives when we recognize, we said no to Satan. It's a good thing when we recognize you know what, that's something I need to work on. There's nothing wrong with that. God allowed people to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years to try and learn a little bit of something about humbling themselves, about having the love of God poured out in their heart, seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And their hearts were hardened against God. Satan wants us to have a hard heart against somebody in the church, against a co-worker, against a certain group of folks in the world, whether it's political or whether it's sports or whatever it is. Not so with Jesus, not so with the love of God. We need to follow. We've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith to His grace. Glory and tribulations. How many of us are anticipating tribulations this week? I'll tell you about some of the tribulations that I had the last week. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but I deal with projects during the week. And as I deal with projects during the week, everything, you know, the architect designs it, the engineers design it, somebody, probably a project manager like me, puts a schedule together along with a superintendent, and we put a project together, and it's going to work just fine. We all get all our productivity done in a day. Everybody goes home after 8 hours work. Everything's just perfect. No questions are asked. No concerns. Folks, that's not how things work. There's unforeseens. There's questions about details. More details on more details. Now, let me say this. I've seen people say, I just don't like this guy, or I just don't like this, or we don't need this group of people, or we don't need that group of people. In the construction process, you take out any of those groups. You take out the owner that has the funding. You take out the architect that has a vision and designs a building, the engineers who do the details to make those things come together, that vision come together, the contractor that puts the things together and buys and procures everything and puts it all together, and the people look at it to make sure it's going to work and it's right. The process of paying and figuring out all those details. Take one of those entities out and the project never gets done. So you tell me who's more important. Now, everybody has their opinions on that. For me personally, I look at it through the eyes of Christ. Through a biblical example, everybody's important. Everybody has value. Whether it's the guy sweeping, or the guy that designed the building, or the guy that engineered the electrical systems of the building. Sometimes does the guy sweeping make mistakes? I can walk right around behind him and say, that's not what I would have done. I can walk right behind the engineer. That's not what I would have done. But folks, how is that the love of God being poured out of my heart on a job site? Sometimes we just got to look past some things. Now, some things I can't. Hey, these lights aren't working. We got to get it resolved. You bring people together and you resolve it. It's the same thing in the church. Everybody that is in the church is important. God has a plan for them. God has a job for them. Does everybody do their job perfectly? No. Does everybody do their job just the way everybody else thinks they ought to do it? No. How we deal with that situation, we need to let the love of God pour out of our hearts in dealing with one another. You know? Do we have X amount of songs before the preacher gets up here? You know? Come on, man. We sing another song. We sing one less song. How does the love of God pour out of your heart? If you get upset over an additional song or one less song during the service, you got heart issues. How does the love of God pour out of your heart when you can't get past something simple as one extra song, one less song. Or if the preacher preaches over a couple minutes. Or if you're watching your watch. If you watch your watch during service, folks, I guarantee you, do you think Jesus would do that to you? I'm keeping a ledger every time you showed up for Bible class, every time you daydreamed in Bible class, every time you never showed, every time in worship service you daydreamed about something else. Whether it was times past, the ball game, what you're cooking, what you're going to eat, what you want to eat, what somebody's wearing, I just go on and on. How does the love of God pour out of our hearts? It's up to us to recognize how beneficial it is for us to follow Jesus and let the love of God pour out of our hearts. So important. Folks, I'm never going to see the love of God pour out of some people's hearts because they're not following Jesus. But we expect that. We expect a stranger driving down the interstate to be nice to us. Hopefully if they're following Jesus, but we don't know that. And guess what? I'm following Jesus and I make mistakes driving them down the interstate. But in whatever situation, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. We need to receive that and recognize that. And continue on. The Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit who was given to us on the day of our redemption. As our faith grows, as our opening our hearts and the less hardened our hearts are, the more God works in our lives. I know it. It's what the God Bible says. And I know it's hard for me to open my heart. Just in the last year or so, I've been praying for my heart to be open. Because, you know, I like to live the world according to Don. Ask my wife. You know, she loves it when I'm opening my heart to Jesus. Vice versa. But I can lead by example in the house. I can lead by example in the workplace as I do those things. In Romans 8, 28 through 39, it is written, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning I mentioned a little bit about the world's strange understanding of love. They think they know what it's all about. The love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Reverting back to the previous passage we just looked at, folks. Have the love of God poured out in our hearts. Have us reminded that we are conquerors, more than conquerors. Remind us that there's nothing we can't do without Jesus. He has helped me be successful in the last 8 weeks of my new job just by following his precepts and promises, relying on him to guide me in my decisions. Have I made all perfect decisions? No. Have I made good decisions? Have I represented the company well? I pray on the way to work, especially in days that I know are going to be trials or more pressure than normal, that I represent his kingdom positively. And if I represent the kingdom of God in a professional, loving, caring way, guess what? I'm going to represent that company the best I could do. I'm going to be the best I can be, the best Don I can be. Now, I know that's not all you guys are hoping for, the best Don that could be. But folks, in our lives, we want to be the best everybody we can be following Jesus. We want the love of Christ poured out in our hearts. We want to show the love of God in our lives. In Ephesians, it is written, chapter 3, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This morning I talked about not having an epitaph that was negative. What about this on my tombstone, my lovely wife, if I pass before you? "Here lies my husband. He was rooted and grounded in love. He knew the love of Christ which passed knowledge. He was filled with goodness of God. He was led by the Spirit of the Most Holy God." Folks, that should be our desire in our walk with Jesus. The love of God in our lives working, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. You know, some of us want to draw a line, say, "This is where I'm at, and take it or leave it." Did Jesus ever do that? He did draw a line sometimes and say, "That's of God, this is not of God." And actually he said, "This is of God," because when he was on this side, he was always on God's side. But he wants us to be rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Did you be strengthened in the inner man? Did you be reminded that the whole family in heaven and earth is named to Jesus, to fall on our knees? There's multiple times in the Bible where people fell on their knees to pray and to talk to God. There's some groups, Christian, some non-Christian, fall on their knees when they pray. That's part of their tradition and their practice. Folks, I ask us, when's the last time we really fell on our knees about something to God? You know? Something that's really important to us. Or in our hearts, do we fall on our knees every time we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember him and what he did every first day of the week? There's other ways we can fall on our knees, so to speak. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We talked about love this morning, you know. You can have the tongue of men and tongue of angels, but without love, the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Satan wants us to feel empty, and how he does that sometimes in our lives is rob us of love. Us loving and us being loved. I tell you something, I don't know if I'm loved or not if I'm not talking to anybody. If I'm not participating in their life, you know. Don would like to go through life with everything cut and dried, okay? Today, my plan this afternoon was to go home. Eat something quick, go home, start working on the house. There was free food here. Somebody reminded me of it. Thank you, brother, Tony. And we hung out long enough and visited that I decided I was going to eat some of that free food. So I ate free leftover food. It was very good. Enjoyed myself. Spent time with brothers and sisters in Christ. Sat with some while I ate. Went back, got dessert, come back, sat with a different group. Talked to somebody else. I still loved the people I sat and ate with. It wasn't because they made me mad. It was just because I thought it would be a nice opportunity to talk with somebody else. To receive some of their love. To give them some of my love. But I say that to say that love transaction wouldn't have happened if we hadn't spent time together. We get busy in our lives, folks, and we got so much to do and so much we want to do. We treasure the gift God's given us. We want to make sure we don't treasure it above the heavenly things. Love. And we've been talking about in our lessons today. A few standalone passages this evening. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, you think about that, folks. Would the world put power and love in a sound mind? All in the same sentence? Only God, because he knows what's right. Only God knows the truth. He's not giving us a spirit of fear. What happens when we're afraid of something? We don't feel powered. We don't feel loved. We question ourselves whether we're making the right decision or not. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to them? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews 6 and 10 is written, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God loves you for doing what you're doing. He doesn't forget what you're loving and what you're doing, labor of love. He's not unjust to forget that. Sometimes people give up because they just don't feel loved. God's not unjust to forget that. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Crown of life to those who love him. Folks, it's a great accomplishment to die in the Lord, to die saved. There's many people that have said and have loved Jesus and have turned back to loving themselves more. We need to make sure and be cautious we don't do that. Satan tempts us with it. It's just a reality. We need to make sure we follow him for our crown of life. James 2:5 is written, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God's promises are to those people that love him. We've looked at what love is this morning, and we've looked at the love of God this evening. He promises us, and he keeps his word. There's no place in the Bible he hasn't kept his word, except for a couple times when people pleaded with him to change his mind. There are some examples, Moses and some other people, you know. But he's not going to change his mind about his promises of salvation, about his commitment to us, about his love to us. God is a just God. The Bible is a Bible of do's and don'ts, but it's more so a book of love. Love never fails. God's word never fails. And if we look at his holy word as a book of love rather than a book of do's and don'ts, let's not let the world make our minds or help us stereotype what God's holy word is. It's a book of love for his people that he cares about, that he wants to live forever, that he has promises to us, those in love. 1 John chapter 2, it is written, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Truly the love of God is perfected in him, those who keep his word. Those who follow his word, those who keep his commandments, those who walk just as he walked." Folks, for us to continue keeping on, to be in the way, to enjoy his love, to want to follow him each and every day of our lives, to be successful in the kingdom of heaven, to make God happy. God is well pleased. God likes sweet smelling aromas. God likes us to be faithful. That brings joy to him. Truly, the love of God is perfected in him. Folks, that's another great epitaph that we could have of someone to pass from this life onto the other, to live for eternity. I think our last passage this evening is 1 John 3, beginning in verse 10. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." One of Satan's biggest tools, and he works on our hearts, is for us to hate somebody about something. Whether it's at work, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the household that we live in, we need to continue on showing forth the love of God in our lives. We should love one another. We should love the brethren, irregardless of whether he leads new songs or old songs, too many songs, songs I like, songs I don't like. If you don't like some of the songs we sing, folks, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? When God says, "Hey, will you guys sing this one for me? I don't like that song, God." How's the love of God proceeding out of your heart? Let it go. As in the football world, it's now done for another year. Come on, man. Let us mature in love, in our relationships with one another, and in our walk with Christ. The lesson has touched your heart tonight. I hope it has. It has mine. Each and every lesson that I prepare, folks, God's word is so powerful. It's so convicting. It's so uplifting. It gives me drive. And the older I get, it's tough for me to do something right sometimes, or even like today, I plan on going home working on the house. I went home, opened up the Christian Chronicle, laid on the bed, went to sleep. Love of God can continue to work in our lives, irregardless, folks, of who we are. He's got a plan for us. Let that work in your heart. Let His love, God is love, and the love of God works in our hearts. Let that work in your lives as we start a week anew. If anything in the lesson touch your heart, work on it. Let it draw into your life this week to continue to be guided by the Spirit of God and His love and His holy word, which is the book of love. If you need to respond to invitation, Lord's invitation, we offer that this evening as we sing. Selected hymn, song number
660.